biblical vows and what we see does the scripture teach about vows. And maybe before we start, I will ask the question, what do you understand when we say a vow? What does a vow mean to you? Or what is a vow, if in the simplest way to explain it? Who wants to start? Who wants to give a try? What do you understand by a vow?
It's a promise.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, that God has promised to us that give the life and freedom of the from the sin.
Okay.
So at the time of through the Moses and the Abraham, just showed this that
the vow,
he will give the his designated people the land where they can live in peace and happy.
Mm.
So since the beginning of the through this people, God promised us that give us the life that we are hoping.
Okay, thank you. That's a good point of view. You already start with God's vows, amen, God's covenants and God's blessing. Okay, excellent.
Thank you.
Someone else wants to try? What is a vow? How would you define a vow? Or what words can be used that are similar to vow? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, vow means actually it is a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And God promised to give us his beloved son.
Yeah.
And he given us Jesus Christ as the savior for us to protect from us from our sin and from our death.
Yeah.
And he kept his promise.
Amen.
And amen. We got salvation by believing in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And from our sin.
I agree with you totally, 100%. So it's a promise, and that's a very good word you've used. She started with God's promise for us, and then you've also said it's a promise. Someone else, what is a vow? What other word comes when you think of a vow, apart from promise, apart from what God has said he will do? What other words come to your mind when you hear the word vow? Yeah. Yes, Kusali, go ahead. Please, here, feel free, just unmute and then just speak. And Roslida, so Kusali, go ahead, and then Roslida next,
Thank you. I think the other word we can use for vow is commitment.
Commitment.
To vow is to commit to do something.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Commitment. Uh-huh. Someone else? Roslida, you had a point.
Bear with me, I still use a promise. And
Kusali
has said a word that about commitment.
Mm.
I was looking at it many a times. We speak about wedding vows.
Yes.
So two people, a man and a woman, vow to live with each other, you know. And as I think about it, I'm thinking that we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We are the bride. We make part the bride. And Jesus Lord is the bridegroom, and so their vows.
Yeah.
And I think it's Sakonta who said about, of course, God being the supreme and the only God has made vows towards the body of Christ and us unto we as the. As the bride, and we also have our part to play in keeping to the vows that we make.
Okay, excellent. Do I locked anyone with another thought? That's powerful. Marriage, the holy marriage. I mean, that's the earthly marriage and the heavenly marriage that we shall have. Yeah. Any other thoughts? If you have an idea, you know, this is Bible study, you can talk. Because in the normal church, most of the time, you might not have the time. Okay, so let's go ahead. So vows, ideally, and you can see you got the two words that was in my definition, which is commitments, so club for yourself, and promises. So you said vows are commitments or promises that are made by an individual that are often solemn in nature. That means they are holy. And these are promises that are made, not jokingly. These are serious. That's why it's saying it is serious, that are solemn in nature to God, and by which a promise is made to be fulfilled upon God granting their request. So basically, this means that someone is making a prayer to God. Like you're saying, God, now people are being cut their jobs. Huh? I'm just giving an example. Eh? Now, God, if you manage to preserve my job, that I promise I will give you this money, or I will give you this amount of gift as a thank you. Now, so vows are something like that. Like, let's say someone is in, maybe you are in a boat that is about to sink. And when the boat is struggling, then you make a vow. You say, God, if you save me from this, then I will do something. And I want to ask the question, and how many of us have made vows before, and did we keep them, or did we struggle to keep them? If you want to share, just share what detail you're okay sharing, but if you don't need to share, you can just share. I made a vow and it was easy to fulfill, or it was difficult to fulfill, or what the situation. Maybe if we can have two examples of people who if they look at themselves, they made a vow. It's just being honest, and because this is a place of Bible study, anyone that is willing to come in. Anyone who wants to try? Okay, everyone is inside. Okay,
sorry, yes. Emmanuel, once again.
Yes, Sukonta, please feel free, go ahead.
I couldn't understand the question.
I was asking if in the past any of us have made a vow or a promise to God that we want to share, and whether we fulfilled it, or it was easy to fulfill it, or we struggled to fulfill it. For me, I can think of the easiest. There are times when, Ralph, I'll give you a moment. Where there are times when maybe I made a commitment to fast. Huh? So in the morning, I wake up, I said, oh God, I'm going to fast today. And then maybe it reaches 3 and I feel like collapsing. And then at times I just feel like, okay, let me just go and take coffee. Now, that's like a vow, like a commitment, a promise I made. But then at times we find that, or I found that I struggled to meet it. You understand? So I'm just giving an example. Okay, Ralph, go ahead. You had your hand raised. Give an example of where you made a vow and maybe you fulfilled it, or you are not able to fulfill it. Yeah.
You took my example.
Go ahead. Just give it.
I think times where, like I said, today I'm going to be fasting. Then
yeah.
You go to the office, somebody offers you food, then you eat, then you remember that, oh my God, I was fasting.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but I...
No, it happens to all of us, yeah.
I've been a number of times, you know, and you say, okay, God, I'm sorry for this. But I remember also, like, at church, there was a time when we wanted to do something in terms of we wanted to buy instruments for the church.
Yeah.
So I made a commitment. I said, God, I want to do this. You know, I'm going to make this happen. You know, made a commitment to God. I made a vow to God, and I thank God. He enabled me to be able to fulfill that. I was able to, you know, to complete that vow.
Mm.
So I thank God for that.
Okay, excellent. Welcome, Pradeep, welcome, Christine, and we started looking at vows. And so I think the reason why we bring up such a topic is because I mean, as God leads us to teach on this or to look at the scriptures, is because it's one of the things that is quite common in our time and has been in the Bible, of where people make promises either to God or to themselves. But also, we also see in the scripture that also God makes promises. And one of the things that you'll realize is whenever humans make promises, including me and including us, we have a tendency to fail to keep it. Why? Because we are weakened by our human nature or by our sinful nature. We find that we don't keep our end of the bargain. But then, one of the things that we will see in scripture is that whenever God made promises, he always kept his promise. And this is something, this is a contrast that we are going to see even as we look at scripture and we look at this aspect of vows. So when we think of vows, you are thinking of commitments, you are thinking of promises. Other keywords is swearing, like someone swearing an oath. You see, like when you go to court and you say, I swear everything I'm going to say is the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And there's also maybe covenant. So covenant is also similar to what is a vow, where a promise is made by two parties. One party says, I will do this, the other party will do this. And then another word that is also used is testament. So moving ahead, we are going to look at examples of people who made promises or who made vows in the Bible. And the first vow that we see recorded in scripture is actually by Jacob. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22, that then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth to you. Now, just the background for you to understand, Jacob at this point was running away from his brother Esau. Remember, he had stolen his brother's birthright, and his brother had made a swear that once his father, the funeral rites are over for his father Isaac's death, then he's going to kill his brother Jacob for stealing his birthright. And so Jacob runs and he gets to this place, which is Bethel. And when he sleeps in the night, he sleeps on a stone, and in the night he sees this staircase or stairway going from heaven to earth, to from that rock, and he sees angels ascending and descending on that stone. And he wakes up, and then now he realizes that God is there, and he says, and then now he makes a vow to God. Does he promise God? He says, if God goes with me and keeps me, because he was running away, he did not know where he was going, and he says, and if God gives him bread and clothing to put, and that he can come back one day back to his father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And he says, what? So he was telling God, God, if you do this, me, I will do this. And then he says, for me, I will give you a tenth. And then he says, this stone where he shall put the pillar shall be God's house. Now that's, even if you look at even where Jerusalem and where the temple is built, actually the temple is actually built on this space, on this place. And this actually tells you of how words are so powerful. Now, in Genesis 31, we read that the angel of God came back to Jacob when he was going back now. Actually, when he had stayed in Laban's house and it was time for him to leave after 20 years, the angel of God spoke to me in a dream saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see the rams which leap on the flocks, a streak speckled and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So God reminded him of his covenant and told him that, you know what, I kept you. Now it's your time to go back. And one thing I can imagine is that Jacob kept his promise or kept his covenant, because he promised that he will give God a tenth. So Jacob is one person that made a covenant with God. Then there is also now another example of someone who also gave a covenant. And for me, this is usually an interesting or a sad encounter, because this is the man called Jephthah, and he had gone to war. And you see, the Bible tells us that, and Jephthah in Judges 11, verse 30 to almost 40, he says, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So this man was going to war. And then he tells God, God, if you just deliver me from these people, the first thing that come out of my house when I'm coming back to meet me, I will offer it as a burnt offering. That means he's going to burn it. He's going to kill it and burn it. Then what happens when you continue the story, verse 34, it says, when Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels, this is the cymbals, and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter, and it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back to it. So she said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged your enemies for the people of Ammon. But anyway, eventually you can read that she asked the father to give her 2 months because she was a virgin. She goes to cry with her friends, and then she came back and her father offered her as an offering. Now, this is an example of also another person who made a vow. It was very painful, but he says, he has a word. He says that I have given my word to the Lord and I cannot go back to it. And God gave him victory. So this is as another person. Let's carry on and then I'll give you time to reflect. A third person that we see in the scriptures is Hannah. Hannah was without a child. She was married. She had a co-wife, and the co-wife was Peninnah. Now Peninnah will make fun of her, but then she decides to pray. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your male maid servant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, she promised God that, God, if you give me a child, a male child, she was very specific, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now you see here, they're even more than, it's not only just the vow that she's making for herself, in that the vow that if you give me a child, I will give you, God, the child, but also she's also making a vow for the child, where he's saying, and this is the Nazarite vow, and we'll also look at it as one of the vows that, a Nazarite vow, which they were not supposed to shave their head, their hair. And it has various aspects. Now you see, what happened is God remembered her and she gave birth, and she gave birth to a son. And then the Bible says, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, 1 skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. This is 1 Samuel 1, 24 to 28. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he shall live, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord. And the Bible tells us later on that the Lord visited Hannah, that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, I've spoken about the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow is mostly seen in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 21, and you will see the various aspects. Is one, they were not supposed to drink any wine, and the perfect example of a Nazarite is Samson. He was not supposed to drink wine or strong drink or grape products. He was not supposed to cut his hair. He was not supposed to become ritually impure. That means he was not supposed to touch any dead body, corpses or graves. He's not supposed to touch anything even produced by the grapevine or including seeds and skins. And this vow ideally was a lifetime for the Nazarites, but it can be taken for 7 days or 30 days or a lifetime. And the word Nazir actually means just to be set apart for Yahweh. So these are some of the people who took vows. And also in the New Testament, we also see that Paul took a vow. But you see, Paul took a vow for the sake of the Jews. Now, this is something that's very important that you have to understand, that when he was, the Bible tells us in Acts 18, verse 18 to 21, that then he took leave of the brethren and said to Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had cut off his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And later on, if you read the scriptures, Acts 21, 15 to 25, actually the Jews tell him, look here, you know, we have many Christians now who believe, but they're zealous for the law. So they keep the law. So do this. You also come and shave your hair with these four men who have not cut their hair, and then pay for them so that people will say that you're keeping the law. So Paul is the one who shows us that he became all things to all men so that he can win some. So he was seeing the Jews are still struggling with the issues of vows and all that. So he also took a vow. Now I want to pause there, and I want to hear some of your reflections on these four or five people who gave their vows. What thoughts come to your mind? How does it make you think, or what does it make you feel? Anyone that is wants to reflect on these aspects of vows, what comes to your heart when you see this story? Think of the first person, think of Jacob, then think of Jephthah, then think of Hannah, then think of the Nazarite vow like Samson, and then now even think of Paul. What thoughts comes to your mind when you see these examples of vows in scripture and how it was? Yeah, let me hear you. Feel free to reflect. You can just unmute yourself and just reflect as God leads you.
Well,
yes,
I may start.
Yes, please go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me it's quite interesting or fascinating how the level of commitment, you know, or the fear of God that these colleagues that were referred to, these men and women in the Bible were referred to.
Yeah.
Also, there are two things that I see. It's about the commitment, and also their commitment, the fear and faith in God. Because they trusted in God, and they said that if God is able this for me,
yeah,
they feared to break the consequences of breaking their, except for Samson,
yeah,
you know, if we look at the other ones, they maintained their vows because of fear of God, because of their reverence of God, you know, and they kept that. And if you also look at God with all these men, one thing that is consistent, God did not change or back down from what he had promised. You know, the vow that these people had made, once he made that covenant with them, God didn't change.
Yeah.
I'll stop there so that for others can continue.
Now, excellent, excellent. God stayed constant, and they had the fear of God, except the case of Samson, and they really tried their best to fulfill it. Interesting. Someone else with a reflection? Any of these stories that is new to you or that is surprising to you? Okay, anyone with a reflection? Okay, we'll go ahead if there is none, but feel free to come in. And other examples, there's also another interesting example that is in Proverbs 31, where King Lemuel, and this is, the Bible says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, "What, my son, what, son of my womb, what, son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor to your ways which destroys kings." So it seems the mother of Lemuel needed a child, and she also asked God, and so she calls him son of my vows. Then also, if we read the book of Jonah, remember the story of Jonah, he ran away from God, and you know, while they were in the water, and they threw him in the water, but then these people, they cried out to God, then they offered sacrifices to God for themselves, that God will have mercy on them. And in Jonah 1:16, it says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows." So vows, actually, as we see, it's not only done by Christians. There are also people who take vows. And remember, even like the wife of Ahab, Jezebel, she vowed that she will kill Elijah, you know. So this is something that was common. Now, I want us to see some of the scriptures speak about vows. And one of the things that you will see is there was an authority of a father or a husband to cancel the vows that were made by either a daughter or a wife. Now, this is interesting, and this you can find time to read in Numbers chapter 30, Numbers 31 to 9. And this is where if someone, and maybe just to read a few verses, the Bible says, "Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And then, or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house, in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the same agreement and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement which she has bound herself shall stand. But if the father overrules her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will release her because her father overruled her." Now, this is just something about authority. Verse 6, "If indeed she takes a husband while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it and makes no response to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her agreements by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on the day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow which she took, and what she uttered with her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will release her. And also any vow of a widow or a divorced woman by which she has bound herself shall stand against her." No, I'm just trying to show what some of the Old Testament guidance was. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, if you go to verse 2, it says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. And for God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God," verse 4, "do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God." So now, we are being told when we come to God, let us be careful how we draw to God. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. What is the sacrifice of fools? Speaking too fast before God and not even thinking, just saying you'll do this. Like you can find someone who'll say, oh, I'm going to do this. And yet they have not thought about it and they have not prayed over it. And another verse that we see in the Old Testament is Psalms 50, where God was telling the Israelites that, you know, you people, hear my people, 50 verse 7, 15, it says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills I know. All the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Verse 14, which is our core verse, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And then when you do that, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So when we see this, we see that God is giving guidance on this aspect of vows. And Old Testament, one, they were told, do not be rash. Number two, they were told, you know, pay it. I mean, if you offer your vows, pay it. And then also they were told this aspect of the father or the husband has the authority to cancel it. Now, we're going to quickly jump to the New Testament, and then we see how Jesus addressed it. Because whenever you read the scriptures, you have to look at it in totality. See what the Old Testament taught, the Old Covenant, the laws of Moses. Then also see what Christ taught and what does the New Testament teach. Because our faith has to be grounded more on what Christ taught and what the New Testament or the New Promise or the new covenant helps us to understand. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, it says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, and this is Jesus speaking, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Look at how Jesus put it. He says, look here, guys. In the old, people were being told, swear. Oh, and then he's saying, telling them now, look here. Your children of God, do not swear by heaven. You cannot reach there. It is God's throne. Do not swear by the earth. It is his footstool. Do not swear by Jerusalem. It is the city of the great king. You cannot even swear by your own head. Why? Because can you make either of your hair white or black? Not by dying. Can you make it yourself? No. But he says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. For anything more than this is not from God, is from the evil one. And James chapter 5 verse 12 also repeats this. It says that, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Now let's look at Paul. Paul had promised to see the Corinthian church. And he tells them in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 15 to 20, and he says, and in this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit and to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there shall be yes, yes, and no, no. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, who Jesus Christ was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So Paul was giving, he was telling them, I really desire to come and see you, you know, and I told you I'll come and see you, but he decided to spare them the burden because they will spend so much on him, and he felt that he did not do it. That's why he's telling them that, look here, I don't double speak. I don't say yes and no at the same time, but I say yes. And he says, every promise that we have in Christ is yes and amen. So now I will take another pause here, and I want you to tell me what you feel or what you think about this aspect of the warnings that God gives about making vows, in that they were told not to be rash, to not, it's better to not vow than vow. They were told, do not, I mean, if the husband hears and you hear it and you are silent, then it is accepted. But if you hear it and you cancel it, then it is canceled. Then they were also told, I mean, if you make a vow, full pay it. Then Jesus comes and tells them, look here, do not swear. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this is not of God, is from the evil one. Let me hear your thoughts on what we have shared up to now. I don't want to choose people, so please, anyone, please, if you, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just what you reflect or what you feel. Yeah. Okay. Yes, please, Sukwanta, go ahead.
Yes, sometimes we promise, and people also promise to us, but sometimes we cannot keep the promise. Okay, we break the promise, and in our experience, we can see that people say one thing with their mouth, but act differently.
Yeah.
Or we can see the other scenario also. People promise, but there is also happening some cheating or like this. Okay, it is our experience, and we can see like these things around us.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, it's a common occurrence. People promise or they double speak. They say yes, but their hearts are saying no. And God is telling us, let's be clear. Let's, if you're saying yes, let it be yes. If you're saying no, let it be no, because God does not do both yes and no at the same time. Okay, someone else wants to give a reflection. Delphina, you've been silent. Let me choose you. Say something. Or anyone else who feels wants to reflect. Let me not choose Delphina by force. Okay. Is there anyone with another reflection? Let's carry on. So far we've been looking at the promises of man, and now I want us to look at the promises of God. And why do I call them covenants? Because with God, they're more than just vows. They're more than just promises. They're actually covenants. Huh? And a covenant is like a binding agreement that God established with men. And one of the things that we see is that in the covenants of God that we see in the Bible, it is actually God that says, I will do it. And that is something that you have to be very keen to read when you look at the covenants of God. And there are about, I think they say there are five covenants of God. But anyway, whether the number is different or not, let's look at the first one. The first one is actually the covenant of God with Adam and Eve. And you see, just to look at from verse 28, he says, then God, Genesis 1, he says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing on the earth. And God said, I. And please, every time you read the Bible, always look for those words where God has said, I. Why? Because when you pray, you go and say, God, you said this. And when you speak to God back what he has said, then he is committed to fulfill his own word. So I want you to just hold on to this, that God already gave a blessing of fruitfulness and multiplication for Adam and Eve. And this promise is for all mankind, that we shall multiply, we shall have dominion. And he says that, see, I have given you every herb and that yields, and every beast and every animal. And that is why all animals and all plants are subject to man. Why? Because of God's covenant and God's promise. Then a second covenant or a second promise that God gives is a covenant to Noah. And this covenant is when God said, I will never destroy the earth again with a flood. And this we read in Genesis chapter 9. Verse 8 to 17, the Bible says that God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be the sign for the covenant between me and the earth. And verse 14 says, and it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature. So God made a covenant with Noah, and he said, yes, I destroyed the earth with water, but I will never do it again. And whenever the rains come and the rainbow comes, I will remember my covenant and I will stop the rain. Another covenant that God makes is with Abraham. And with Abraham, God actually, there are multiple. And it's God that came to Abraham. You can see in Genesis chapter 12, he says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, if you just pause that, and the Bible tells us we are all partakers of the blessing of Abraham by faith. So now when you see this blessing, God is telling you, not just Abraham, he's telling you that I will make you into a great nation. So you put your name, Emmanuel, God will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all families on the earth shall be blessed. To Abraham, everyone is a nation. Each of us here, as we hear God's word, as we come under the blessing of Abraham through Christ, we receive the blessings of nations. So this is something that you can only see when you meditate on the word of God and when you see the blessings that God has given. And, you know, God later on also gives him the sign of the covenant. And this you can read in Genesis 17, where they are to be circumcised, and every child And God tells him that walk before me and be blameless, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And lastly, also that the other aspect in Genesis 22 is when Abraham obeys to sacrifice his son, and God stops him, and God says, "And by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you." Can you imagine? You're already blessed, but God is saying, in that blessing I will bless you, and in that multiplication I will multiply you. So you are more than the blessed, and you are more than the multiplied. And this is really a blessing that is for you and me, because it is a covenant of God. And even today, all the descendants of Abraham, including Ishmael, they are still blessed. Why? Because Ishmael cried to God. God cried to Abraham, asked God for his son Ishmael. And today, if you go to the Arab world, they are blessed. Why? Because they still partake of this blessing of Abraham. Now, let's look at Moses. Moses and the Israelites. And this is really the old covenant that we have. And God told them, if you obey, then I will be, you will be my people. You know, you'll be my special treasure, you'll be my holy nation, you'll be to me a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of priests. And this is really the original covenant that God had with the Israelites. He wanted a holy nation, and this is Exodus 19, verse 5 to 8. God really wanted a holy nation. Since Israel was not able to fulfill it, the Bible says now it is you. In 1 Peter, you are now a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. So now you in Christ, you as the church, become this holy nation of God. And then David, I think we all are aware with David, God tells him that, you know what, I will make sure that you have a descendant on the throne forever and ever. But I think the greatest covenant, and this is where I'll be coming to an end, is where Jesus actually comes to establish the last and the final covenant by which we should hold on to and partake of. And this is even why we do the Holy Communion. Why? Because it is a covenant that Jesus established. And it is now, I want you to remember, it is God who is establishing it, not us. And then, and what does Matthew 26 say? Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, or for the forgiveness of sins. So now, the greatest covenant, or the greatest blessing, the greatest vow of God is actually this one that God has established through Jesus. And he says, this is my blood. And remember, all covenants and testaments actually were established by sacrifice. And so who is the sacrifice? It is Christ. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. And then, and if you look at, and maybe just to look at what were the contents of that covenant. And this covenant is actually repeated in two areas, Jeremiah 31, verse 31, and also in Hebrews. And let us just look at Jeremiah 31, verse 31. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. And this is now applies to you and me. Look at what God is saying. He says, I will put my law in their minds. That means that God is saying that when you come into this covenant with him, you know what to do, the right thing. Why? Because God's direction and God's law is put in your mind. And he says, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, or every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. And he says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember them no more. One of the greatest blessings of the new covenant is that God has forgiven our sins and will forgive our sins, and he will remember them no more. You know, at times the devil will always try to remind us of what we have done in the past. But God is saying, when you have confessed your sins, when you have come to him for forgiveness, and you come and say, God, you know, maybe I did this, God will ask you, I don't remember that. So God does not hold us against what he has forgiven. And this is what I said, it is repeated in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 to 13. He says that he will forgive their sins. He will write the law in their minds and in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No one shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember them no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. In summary, what have we learned? We've learned that vows are promises, commitments that we make to God. And we've seen that people often make a promise that if God does this, they will do this. And we've seen how people made promises. There are those who made right promises like Jacob. They promised to give God a tithe. There are those who made promises that were mistakes like Jephthah. He now had to sacrifice his own daughter. There are those who made promises like Hannah. She got the child, she gave it to God, and God honored her and gave her 5 more children. Then God warns us that, you see, if you're making a vow, don't be rash. When you go to the throne of God, don't be in a hurry to just utter the sacrifice of fools. It is better not to issue a vow and not pay it. But if you offer a vow to God, make sure that you fulfill it, because if you do it, then in the day of trouble, when you call God, he will answer you. Then Jesus comes in the New Testament and tells you, look here, don't go in that direction. Don't struggle so much with offering vows and all that, on swearing. Do this. Let your yes be yes. Decide in your heart. And just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And beyond that, you as a man, we are not able to keep covenants. The reality is we fail. But you see, the greatest covenants are the covenants of God. And those covenants are the ones that we can hold on to. Number one covenant, we've seen the covenant to Adam. We've seen the covenant to Noah. We've seen the covenant to Abraham. We've seen the covenant to the Israelites. We've seen the covenant to David. And most an important covenant is the Messianic covenant, which is a covenant that Jesus establishes of the new covenant. And we are partakers of that new covenant. And that new covenant means that we are his body. We are his people. We are his nation. He writes his laws in our hearts. We know all things. And God has forgiven us and is merciful to us. And he remembers our sins no more. So every time, remember and say, God, this is what you promised you will do. I hold on to it, and now we live in the reality of the new covenant. So I'll just summarize there and welcome any reflections even as we come to our close of the Bible study. Yeah. You're welcome for reflections.
No, thank you so much for that lesson, for that reminder, because, you know, I think that point to say that when we come before God, let us not be hasty, let us not be emotional, but let us take time to pray.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the promise, or the promise that you make to God, it is important. So we need to be very careful in terms of the promises that we make.
Yeah.
Because God honors, God sees
yeah.
what you are promising. So for me, I think it's a very good reminder that even as I'm making my personal commitments and decisions to God,
yeah.
I need to go, I would say, you know, not to rush, but to take my time to pray about it and really hear what God is saying, so
yeah.
that I can be led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, so that I can make the right commitment to God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Someone else that has a reflection. Pradeep, all is well. Christine, Kulu Tamam. Yes, Pradeep, go ahead. Hello, Pradeep, we can't hear you. Okay, I guess your mic is not working. Christine, you have any reflections? Okay, I guess it is well. Let us pray as we thank God for his word. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word that has come timely to our hearts, and indeed, you desire us, you desire our hearts, you desire that which we call unto you and that which you answer. And Father, you've continually shown your faithfulness, and your greatest faithfulness is that which you show us through your Son and through the blood of the sacrifice that you shed on the cross of Calvary. And this blood speaks unto us better things than the blood of Abel. The blood sanctifies us. The blood makes us into partakers of this covenant and this blessing that you have promised to do. And I thank you that this blessing brings us to new realities, that we are not of the old covenant, but we are of those that are in the new. And I thank you that indeed you have promised to do your part, to keep us in faith, to watch over us, to cleanse us, to remember our sins no more. And I thank you that even your people that are here, that have gathered to listen to your word, I thank you for your word that cleanses, that purifies, and I thank you that indeed we are already clean because of the word that has been spoken to us. And I pray that your word will bear root in our hearts, in our lives. I remember those that maybe have made errors and have made mistakes in their covenants. I know in your mercy and in your forgiveness, your blood is able to sanctify and purify, and we show and we receive your mercy over where we have been rash in our mistakes, and thank you that forgiveness is available. And I pray even for wisdom as we move forward, and even for every need that we have. We thank you for our job situations. We thank you for the issues with the work and every other needs that are there, that Lord, you are able to make a way where there is no way. We thank you and we honor you. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed night. Thanks for joining in, and see you on Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.